one verse again tonight. That will be verse number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8. In here, we read, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease, and whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, over the last few weeks, we have been looking at 15 characteristics of agape love between verses 4 and verse 7. Verse 8 talks about what you could refer to as the shelf life of love, how long it lasts. And we see there in verse 8 of chapter 13, where it says, charity never faileth. It never fails. Now, there are several ways that you and I use the word fail, none of which we really want to hear. If something stops functioning, we say, well, that failed. Or if a kid doesn't pass a test, you say, you failed. And when we set goals and they are not achieved, we might say, I failed, or failure, or something like that. The Bible says, though, that charity never faileth. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it doesn't mean people never stop loving each other. The fact is, all of us have seen painful examples where people just, for whatever reason, stop loving each other. Remember that agape love is not emotional. Agape love is volitional. That is, it's a choice. A choice of the will. So at times, people choose to stop loving one another. And I'm going to say this, and I'll probably say it again. What happens in marriages is, you ever hear the love languages? Somebody asked me for that book the other day. Was that you? I know who it was. They were trying to get it for somebody else, Mel. They weren't trying to get it for you. But anyway, never mind. But they wanted to know. So there are basically in this particular book, I think written by Gary Chapman, 5 love languages. He's got a whole series. You know, the love language to your husband, the love language to your wife, the love language to children, the love language to God. And while I'm not a big fan of Gary Chapman, I do like the way he breaks that down. You know what a lot of times couples do once they're married? They stop speaking each other's love languages. And so eventually, they just begin to drift apart. Now, we also know that God loves the world. Now listen, but not all the world responds to his love. So John said, he came unto his own, but his own what? Received him not. They didn't respond to his love. So charity, listen closely, cannot be measured by its effect on the recipient. God showed love to the lost. They did not respond, the majority of them do not respond favorably to that love. God's love, I want you to take your Bible to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. God's love is not irresistible. It's resistible. Even though God is not willing that any should perish. That's what Peter said at 1 Peter 3:9. The Bible says here in 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, what is that? Propitiation here is the atoning sacrifice. That Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for the sins of everybody. Jesus bore, that's what this means, Jesus bore in his body the punishment that is due us. For our sin, in so doing, he propitiated God. That is, he satisfied God's just demand. You should read about that in Isaiah 53. That sin be punished. So this is the way I like to say it. Jesus paid the sin debt. The sin debt is paid. All the sin that any has ever been committed in the whole world from forever has been paid in full. But what do most people, and I use the word most, what do most people do with that payment? They reject it. They don't accept it. That would be kind of like, now after you're saved and look back, it's like, what is wrong with these people? Why don't they accept Christ? But then I have to remind myself, what in the world was wrong with me? How come it took me so long to accept Christ? But it's like, this is kind of what I thought of when I thought about that. It's like you might have a mortgage. Most people have a mortgage. I mean, after you get older, you don't, but anyway. So somebody comes along and says, hey, I have a check right here. This will pay off your mortgage. Would you like it? No. No, I'm not interested. That's just stupid. Like, but in with something more important than their mortgage, that's kind of what they do. They say, no, I don't want to take that payment. So does that mean that God doesn't love? No, it doesn't mean God doesn't love. That's why I said charity cannot be measured by its effect on the recipients. They don't respond favorably to that love. But that does not change the fact that God still loves. And those who say no to that payment are still in their sinful condition. Now, logically speaking, that's just foolish. But it happens more often than not. And unfortunately, people say no to Christ. So what does it mean when Paul writes, love never faileth? The word to fail, or it means this, to fall from a place or position, to be without effect. Now look at Mark chapter 13. Jesus used the same word in talking about the tribulation period in Mark 13, verses 14 and 15. He said, but when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, then let them be that in Judah flee to the mountains. And let him that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of the house. I'm reading the wrong verses. Verse 24. But in those days, I was going to read the whole passage, I changed my mind. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Now that's something. And the stars of heaven, look what it says, shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. The stars have a fixed location. And if you are good, and I'm not, and if you have the right equipment, and I don't, you can locate your position on earth based on where you are because they're consistent. But during the tribulation period, the stars will do that which is unnatural to them and get off their prescribed course. They're going to fall. Charity doesn't do that. Agape love does not get off its course. Now look what James said in James chapter 1 and verse 11. He used the same word over there. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. A flower only lasts for a little while before it fails and falls. Depending on where you buy your flowers, they might last longer. I probably shouldn't say this. The ladies might expect it, but if you buy more expensive flowers, they do last a lot longer. But eventually, they all wither away. They fail. God's love always blossoms. God's love never gets droopy like a flower. It never dies. God's love has no shelf life. That's what Paul is saying. Charity never faileth. It has no expiration date. God's love is eternal, praise the Lord. Now, it will always stay, like the star, it'll always stay in its prescribed place, faithful to its faithful creator, the star is. The love of God will always be available for you and I, because it never faileth. It's always there. You understand? Secondly, in the context, how is this word used? Paul uses three contrasting examples of things that will fail to show the unfailing nature of charity. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 13. In in verse 8, whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Now, prophecies will fail, which may seem odd since several prophecies of Scripture have yet, they're still unfulfilled. Many prophecies are still future. But every promise of God is 100% accurate. In fact, Paul said all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him we say amen. So everything God spoke either has already come to pass or it will come to pass in God's timing. So the failing of prophecy that Paul speaks of is you're not a prophet like Daniel or Ezekiel or Isaiah or Micah, when Micah foretold where the Lord will be born, or how Isaiah said he would be born of a virgin. So you're not, or Daniel, all the prophecies that Daniel spoke about the second coming. We're not like that. But the prophecies that are fulfilled do have an end. The fulfillment takes place, and its purpose has been accomplished. So ultimately, prophecies will fail. Another meaning of prophecy is to proclaim the word of God. And I will remind you, this preaching matters. But one day, even preaching will come to an end. Preaching's already been taking a hit today. But you know, when you get into eternity, there won't be preaching. You won't need preaching. You'll be right in the presence of the Lord. Prophecy will end, so as far as prophecy of new things will already has. But then he says, tongues will cease. Tongues actually have, I should have brought over my King James Study Bible and I forgot to. They have a built-in stopping place. And it did already end right near the end of the apostolic age. And then he says, knowledge will vanish. Knowledge can be a wonderful thing, but it changes. Science changes all the time. Now, most of you know the story of George Washington. George Washington had pneumonia. And said, you know what the cure was that they gave to George Washington? Bleed him out. And in so doing that, they killed him. Finally, I want you to look at the beautiful illustration of how charity never fails from the life of Peter. And before we get there, though, I want you to turn to John chapter 21. Well, actually, this is where we're going to start with it. This is a good illustration of love not failing. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples in person. But they still had their issues. So look at verses 2 and 3. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, that's 5, and 2 others of his disciples. So that's 7, Peter and 6 others. Peter decides, verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. So all 7 of them decide they're going to go fishing. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now, what Peter's actually saying, and evidently the other 6 as well, you know what, I quit. I'm done. I'm not going to follow the Lord any longer. I'm going back to my old fishing business. Even after he had followed Jesus for 3 years and had seen the resurrected Savior, several disciples decided to follow him. Now, by now, the Lord had appeared to these guys at least 2 times. Why did Peter give up? He may have been overwhelmed with sorrow. Maybe he was overwhelmed with embarrassment. After denying the Lord, I mean, who wouldn't be? And because he had crushed and denied ever knowing the Lord and even cursed. And all these disciples, they forsook him. In Mark 15:40, Mark said, and they all forsook him and fled. Maybe they thought they weren't worthy of being with Jesus again. I suspect that they were unsure of their standing with him. I think kind of that was like they didn't know really where they stood. Have you ever been disappointed by somebody in whom you had invested a lot of time and work? That can be heartbreaking. Ever see a friend backslide and go away from God? I remember when we were in college, there was a, I think his name was Scott. And he's just backslid. Well, I had a friend, and we had a mutual friend, Jake Houston. Any of you here remember Jake Houston? Okay, Bill. He was a missionary. So Jake decided he's going to go see Scott. Scott dropped out of college. Then he quit coming to church on Wednesday night. Then he quit coming to church on Sunday night. Then he quit coming to church altogether. So Jake goes to see Scott. And while he goes into the house, it's not long there in the house, and Jake's trying to encourage him, I guess. Maybe he was preaching at him. I don't know. I wasn't there. But he was trying to encourage him, I hope, to come back to church and get his life right with God. Scott came at him with a knife. And so Jake jumped through the window and got out of there. Now, that's heartbreaking to watch somebody. Listen, I went soul winning with Scott on more than one occasion. Do you ever have a friend of yours backslide? And you ever wonder how to bring them back? Because I can tell you, that's happened to me on more than one occasion. Watch somebody fall and then say, okay, I'm going to try to be a blessing and encouragement to them. And so you say a few things to them and you try to be an encouragement to them, but they're not listening to you and they're not paying attention to you. And sometimes they get angry at you and you can tell. They'll talk to you, but they have no desire to listen to a word you say. And so then you sit back and you wonder, how can I bring them back? Well, I want you to notice something here, and we're going to read a little bit more in a moment. Jesus did not bombard these backslidden disciples I'd have been tempted to. You guys just bailed. Now, we might be tempted to say something like this, and Jesus could have said this. After all I've done for you, there is no excuse for behaving like this. Now, would he have been right? He would have been right. Is it the right way to respond? No, it's not the right way to respond. Jesus didn't bombard them. And he had done a lot for them. You know what he did? He blessed them. He did. You know why? Because that's love in action. Peter and his guys fished all night. And you know what they caught, right? Caught nothing. Now, I've never fished all night and not caught nothing. By the time 2 or 3 hours went past, I'd have most likely been on my way home. But my dad, he could fish all night. And he'd throw his... I've seen him do this, because when I was a kid, I had no choice. He'd throw his... We're fishing at night for bullhead, okay? So you throw it out there, and he'd let it sit on the bottom. And if he didn't get a bite, he didn't touch his fish pole all night long. He just sat there. And I'm bored spitless. I mean, okay, I'm going to throw rocks. I'm going to, do something. I'm going to jump in the water. I'm going to do something. He just sit there. I get bored spitless with that. That was very frustrating. So Jesus comes along, verse 6. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore. Now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. They cast it over, and they caught fish. Anybody remember? This is a trivia question. Anybody remember how many fish they caught? 53. Who said 52? You're close, man. That's a lot of fish. We were catching white bass once when I was in college in Ohio. And when we came home, me and two deacons in our church, we had to have close to 150 fish, little ones. And I'm thinking, how in the world are we going to clean all these fish? Well, they got out electric knives. Boom, boom, flipped it over, boom, boom. It's done in about that fast. Those two guys, I didn't clean one. They cleaned them all. They had a lot of fish. Now, Peter's thinking about a fishing business. 153 fish, that's worth a lot of money. Why did Jesus do that for them? Why did Jesus do that for 7 disobedient disciples? Why did he bless them? Because he loved them. And you know what that's an illustration of? Charity never fails. Now, we read earlier, why don't you go back there to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I hope you saw this when we read it. Verse 9, again. Not rendering evil for evil. Jesus didn't repay those disciples evil for evil, nor railing for railing. But contrariwise, what did he do? A blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Anybody like to inherit blessings? I'm good with that. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, Jesus did, and his lips that they speak no guile, and he didn't. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and eschew it. Jesus did those things. Charity never fails. Peter and the others did not need prophecy. They didn't need tongues. They didn't need knowledge. They needed to see that Jesus loved them despite all their failings. He fed them. You remember, he even cooked for them when they came to shore. He had their breakfast already. Were they doing what they should be doing? No, not hardly. But charity never fails. Jesus reached the disciples with love. Their hearts were tender. And they accepted their mission for their lives. And then ultimately they went into all the world to preach the gospel. Most of them were martyred. They laid down their lives for Jesus. That's the result of the unfailing power of love. And its shelf life has no expiration date. So when people are not everything you wish they were, you know what you should do to them? You should love them. And you should bless them. How am I going to bless them? I can bless people in word. I can bless people in deed. And I can bless people by praying for them. And I can bless people with a word of encouragement. I read a book years ago by Pat and Jill Williams. And I actually was listening to Focus on the Family. And they were interviewing this couple on this particular program. And it was a story about this woman who fell out of love with her husband. I mean, she'd had it with this guy. And if you read the book, you can understand why she'd fall out of love with him if you want to know the truth. But he never fell out of love with her. So you know what he did? He called the Christian counselor, and the Christian counselor gave her the first piece of advice was, you need to bless her. So he started being a blessing to her. And for 3 months, so he's like, well, how am I going to do? He didn't know what to do. So Dr. Wheat says, well, what's she like to drink in the morning? She goes, she loves fresh squeezed orange juice. So he says, all right, make her a glass of fresh squeezed orange juice every morning. So he did. For 3 months, she never drank it. He put it on her, wherever she was, I guess, on her end table in her bed. They weren't even sleeping in the same room. So he put it there. Finally, he talked to Dr. Wheat. He goes, she don't even drink it. I don't know what I'm doing. Dr. Wheat says, you just keep doing it. Finally, he went in there. She must have figured, well, the knucklehead's going to keep bringing it in here, I guess, because see, love never fails. So finally, she started drinking it. And then 6 months later, according to the book, 6 months later, she smiled at him. He didn't stop at 1 month or 2 months or 3 months or one. Listen, squeezing fresh squeezed grape orange juice every morning, that sounds like a lot of work to me. I've never even squeezed one in my life. I don't even know. But I do know that my wife likes tea in the morning. So every morning I get up, I'm usually the first one downstairs, and I make her a cup of tea. And she likes just a little bit of sugar in it, and she drinks that green tea. I don't know what the difference is between green tea and black tea. It's all tea to me, but she likes green tea, so I make her a cup of tea, and I'll take it upstairs, and she'll be in the restroom where she's putting on her war paint. You know how that is, ladies. Anyway, so she's up there doing her thing, and you can tell her I said that. I don't care. And that's the word. I couldn't think of it. And not really, I can think of it. She'll have her tea. She usually says almost every day, thank you. That's just being a little blessing. You can bless people because love never fails. But here's what happens. We let our love fail because it's a choice we make. Because it's not love as an emotion. Love is volitional. It's a choice that we make. And once we decide, that's it, I've had it, we're not going to respond in love the way Jesus responded in love. Now let me ask you one more last question. Do you think it would have been easy to not respond in love with those seven disciples? I think it would have been easy to say, fine, catch no fish, no breakfast, no fish for you. But that's not what Jesus did. Not what he did. He made them, put your net over there. They got 153. I would have loved to have been there that moment right there, 153. But then he had breakfast ready for him. Father, help us to bless people. Help us to be people who our love doesn't end. It doesn't stop. It just keeps on loving. It doesn't fail. But one thing we are grateful for, we know that your love never fails. We know that your love does not have a shelf life. It's not like a loaf of bread that we put on the counter and after however many days it's no good. Your love is always good. It's always there. We thank you for it. Help us to live it in all these practical ways that we've looked at. In Jesus' name, amen. I was mentioning this to Brother Bill.